March 15th, 2016. You are looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode 553 of the Will Leach Experience Podcast on Sports on Earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and I think you're spending part of your day with me. This, I don't know if you listen to this podcast regularly. I don't know if you even like it. If you don't, I don't blame you. I get it. But if there's one podcast to listen to every year, it is this one. It is one of my personal favorite, along with the big Tommy Craig's one at the end of the year, the Joe Sheehan big baseball preview, which is coming very soon, by the way. There's certain the Jeb Lund Thanksgiving episodes, many episodes. This is now the fourth year of doing this podcast, if you can believe that. This is one of my favorite, absolute favorite ones. It is CBS Sports' Matt Norlander going through the entire NCAA bracket with me. We also listen to some Meatloaf on this podcast, which is kind of amusing. And of course, we also go through the NIT bracket. One of my favorite things to watch Matt Norlander, who purposely does not look at the NIT ballot until he goes through his ballot with me. He loves college basketball so much that he loses his mind over every matchup. So please welcome Matt Norlander. Also, subscribe to us on iTunes, and music is by the Sundogs. Rate us on iTunes, all that stuff. But mostly, just enjoy Matt Norlander. All right, Norlander, this is one of the busiest days of your entire life. This is also one of my favorite podcasts to do all year. So thank you for siphoning a very brief window to keep this tradition going.
No, you know that I love coming on, and I'm always going to make time for you. Because this is the podcast where I really get to just totally blab and gab to my heart's desire. So let's do this, man. This is a wacky, weird, interesting bracket. So, I mean, do you want to hit games first? Do you want to hit any selection stuff?
You know, I feel like, but honestly, this podcast is up on Tuesday. One of the things you talked about on your very excellent podcast with Gary Parrish and Sam Vecenie is the idea that, you know, we get very upset about this or that on Selection Sunday and who's in and who's out, and then we forget it by the time the games actually start. So I find that particularly because on Tuesday night there's such a great game, mm-hmm. Play-in game, that focusing on whether or not that should be Monmouth or instead of Tulsa, which I think we all agree probably should have been. No offense to Monmouth, but no one's going to remember.
We'll remember, but
yeah, it won't matter once we get into the
game. It just, once we get to the games, that kind of stuff falls to the wayside, but it doesn't mean that the committee can't still strive to do better.
You think this was the actual worst
year? I do, and I can say that I got a text from someone that was in that room who listened to that CBS podcast, so they heard all of our criticisms. I can't run down for you every single bracket from the past 15 years, let alone 30 years, and say that was for sure worse than this one. But simply stated, the difficulties with the similarities in so many teams and the inherent disadvantage that so many mid and low major schools have because they cannot schedule the way that they would like to schedule in more of a balanced, fair way. Okay, they can't get big schools to come to them. And what are they forced to do? They're forced to play in worse leagues. And so when that happens, they have to play on the road against tougher teams. I mean, excuse me, not tougher teams, but less tough teams that over the course of a season, it's still pretty tough to win all those road games. And so inevitably, their resume takes a big hit and they get put in these bad positions. So there needs to be they need to not blow it up, but they need to acknowledge the disadvantage that small schools are at and put more weight on true road victories and understand that the deck is certainly stacked against them to a certain degree.
Well, can I say that I find it encouraging no matter what that the people, someone on that committee listens to your podcast.
I was surprised to get that. I was surprised to get that text message this morning.
Yeah, that's good to hear. That's good to know. All right, let's dig in. I'm going to start it. Right, I'm going to start it with we're going to start in the South. We're going to start in the South, the number one overall seed, Kansas. Kansas, mm-hmm. Austin Peay. When you look at we look in general about Kansas, and we'll I know who your Final Four is, but we'll leave the listeners in suspense. Mm-hmm. When it comes to Kansas, my general theory about Kansas is the reason, as you've talked about a lot, that Self never gets as much credit as he probably should, as he clearly should, for winning so many Big 12s in a row, is that he has only one title. He only has one title. He has two Final Fours with him and no Final Fours anywhere else. And so, therefore, people don't appreciate how the regular season. I feel like he's a Hall of Fame coach, but I feel like he needs another title to truly get to that next where everyone's like, oh, you're in like the top tier.
I think there's probably something to that. It's so hard to win the NCAA tournament. To me, we should be judging coaches. If we're going to start talking about coaches in realms of accomplishments and what they've done in March and how we want to start stacking up achievements, I think Final Fours should matter more than national titles, because getting to a Final Four is 66% of the journey. Okay, that's 4 out of 6 wins that you need, and even then, it's really, really hard to do. And Self is certainly, I mean, he hasn't made as many as Krzyzewski or Izzo or anything like that, but you know, he's made many of them at this point, and he'll make many more. This is the favored team to win the title, obviously, is the rightful number one overall seed, and they're going to roll Austin Peay. That's Austin Peay probably should be in Dayton. They you could make the case that that really that is the worst team not named Holy Cross in this field. But regardless, Kansas is funky to me because they're balanced. They do a lot of things really, really well, but they don't, like, you know, Perry Ellis, Wayne Selden, they're good players. They're not college superstars. And so I won't think any less of Self no matter what happens here. It's a solid defensive team, and they can shoot it relatively well, but I can't pick this team to win the title this year.
All right, well, we'll get to there. Bringing up Austin Peay.
I know. I didn't want a brief semi-spoiler there.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Well, bringing up Austin Peay for me every time is nothing but sadness. The famous Vital sit in his head when they beat that team in the mid-80s. But
oh, my gosh. That's a great call.
No, yeah. As Illinois fans will. To this day, my father, if he hears the word Peay, even unrelated to anything else or even the letter. All right. So next. Okay. We're digging through Colorado, Connecticut.
Yeah, this is a 1:30 p.m. They're all p.m.s. 1:30 tip on TNT on Thursday. This is a weird game to me. I know a lot of people listening aren't familiar at all with Colorado. Tad Boyle, its coach, is very, very good. Josh Scott is a senior that looks 42 years old but is a reliable player. UConn has a lot of raw talent, has underachieved. It, you know, if going into the season, I think people thought this UConn team would have landed around a 5 seed. It didn't live up to that. Tough call. I go UConn, and I don't love it, to be honest. In fact, I called in my picks and I made Colorado, and then I called back and I said, give me UConn, and I might call back again and say, I want to switch back to Colorado. To me, it is the toughest 8-9 game to call. But yeah, Huskies barely, because they've got, you know, the kid who made the buzzer beater, Jalen Adams, mm-hmm. really just a ridiculous shot in the conference tournament last week. He is like a legit baller. When we make like our top 100 list, as we do every preseason at CBSSports.com, to me, he's a guy that will clearly be on the top 60 of that list next year, and will have a really good chance at being like a first team all league player in the American. But this one's the ultimate toss-up 8-9 game to me.
Well, whenever I think of people like Bill Self, you talk about how hard it is to win the championship, I feel like Connecticut just comes along every 3 or 4 years and just screws it up for everybody. And the fact that Kevin Ollie has as many championships as Bill Self is kind of insane.
Yeah.
So I also have Connecticut in that game. Let's go Maryland, South Dakota State.
Sure. Maryland is the underachieving special, basically. Only Vanderbilt has underachieved more, even though it has a little bit less than Maryland. The Terrapins were a preseason top 5 team, expected to be a number 1 or number 2 seed. They're a 5. They have been just up and down, left and right, for more than the past month, basically. There is plenty of talent here. Melo Trimble is the point guard that people are familiar with, but you know, Diamond Stone has been a pretty good freshman overall. They play against the South Dakota State team. Listen, Scott Nagy, he's a really solid coach. He's probably he's due to get a job upgrade, in my opinion. I think with what he's done there, this is the third bid in 5 years. I just don't think they've got the talent here. They've got South Dakota State does have a freshman. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. It's spelled D-A-U-M. I think it's Daum, Mike Daum. He's actually the most efficient freshman in the country, even more efficient than, you know, Ingram and Ben Simmons. He's a 6'9 guy, good size, and has kind of grown. I was talking with Scott recently. He's gotten a lot better as of late. So to see him go up against Stone or Robert Carter is going to be interesting, because he just hasn't faced guys like that really this season. But I do pick Maryland. Intriguing game for a 5-12. I'm not seeing too many people go with South Dakota State over this one, but I don't know. We'll see. That's a Friday game, by the way. That's, I think, that's around 4:30 on Friday on TBS.
Records the Illinois connection. Scott Nagy, as he started his career as a graduate assistant at Illinois, is the son.
Of
former Lou Henson assistant coach Dick Nagy. Moving on, California. I also have Maryland. California, Hawaii. I got a sense from you on this one.
Do you? What is
I
that?
I listen to your podcast.
That's right. I do have Hawaii winning this game.
Yes.
A couple things here. One, there is a story that broke today that Cal has fired one of its assistants, Jan Huffnagel, who is well known in the business. I know Jan. He is in the midst of a sexual harassment situation, allegations. He swears he is innocent. He has spoken. He has tweeted about this. This was a very bold move by him. He's, you know, retained a lawyer. The point is, Cal is now going to enter into a game with this weird backdrop here of not. It'll be down an assistant. This, you know, this almost never happens. Before that even came about, I did pick Hawaii to win the game. Hawaii has some studs. They are big. They are physical. I know that no one watches Hawaii games, but they're 27-5. They rebound well. They play really good defense, and they got a guy named Stefan Jankovic who is like a legit 6'11", and Ivan Rabb is not going to be able to handle him. Like, Rabb is going to be a lottery pick, but just what Rabb is right now and with his body, like, Jankovic is going to have a really good game, I feel. It's just a matter of if their guys can handle Jaylen Brown, how well Ty Wallace plays. You got to have some fun. You got to take a flyer. To me, I go with Hawaii here. That's a 2 o'clock Friday tip on TBS.
Weird thing about Hawaii, they're not in the tournament next year, correct? They cannot be in it. Now, can any of those guys, like Jankovic, he's basically a stretch four guy. Can any of those guys transfer?
Yes, they can all transfer without penalty after this year.
Oh, awesome. Well,
then, immediate transfer to anywhere in the country.
All right, that will be a fun supple. I'd like to say Hawaii get on a big run and then just have it all just be like,
just so weird, right?
Yeah, it is strange. But I kind of like the idea of it just being basically a big meat market for everyone over the next year. All right, going over, let's talk, before we talk about the Arizona game, let's talk about who they will play. Vanderbilt, Wichita State, two of the more fascinating teams to sneak into the tournament. I'm assuming if you were to rank the games that you were most excited about, this play-in game, would it be in the top 10?
It would be in the top six. I had every year I do a 5 games to look forward to on Thursday and Friday in the tournament. This year I bumped it to 6 and kind of threw the Wichita State Vanderbilt game as a bonus, because to me it's the most enticing first four game we've ever had, and there have been some good ones. I feel like, and this is part of the problem with the first four, they kind of happen. We see them and then we kind of forget about them because it doesn't really truly feel like the tournament. And I wish the tournament would go back to 64 teams, even though that's probably not going to happen. This one, you've got the element of Wichita State being a team everyone knows about, and it has become this oddly polarizing team, in my opinion, because of the undefeated season. People thought it still didn't deserve a number one seed that year. I think Greg Marshall is a really good coach, but he has certainly got a bravado to him that can rub some people the wrong way. So that's good. We need Wichita State to remain relevant and interesting. So they have that. And then Vanderbilt has some pros. Wade Baldwin is a dude that I can't wait to see how they're going to guard him, because he's got some serious speed and skill, and I'm not quite sure what to expect from that. And obviously Vanderbilt has tremendous size. I mean, Damian Jones is a beast. I want to know what Marshall's going to do with that, because they don't have anyone that can match up with Damian one-on-one. And then Luke Kornet is one of the best shot blockers in the country. So it's really interesting. My pick is Wichita State, though. And that's a Tuesday night game, by the way, on True TV.
So it's funny because, you know, Arizona is, you know, this is one of the better programs in college basketball. But it feels weird because I feel like the winner of this game, of that playing game, almost feels like a hip upset pick. Which is always kind of strange, because it always feels strange. It's the hardest part of the 68-team ballot, the 68-team bracket, is the idea that, well, I am now picking this team. One of these two teams is my upset sleeper pick. So do you have Wichita State over Arizona in that game?
Yes, I do. And
you get credit if it turns out to be Vanderbilt.
I know. And let's acknowledge that in many years, I don't have all the data in front of me, but I feel like more times than not, the one of the at-large winners to come out of the first four actually wins its next game. We obviously have seen it with VCU. We saw it with Tennessee a couple years back with Kwanzaa Martin. They made the Sweet 16. So this does happen with some regularity. It's not uncommon to see that. So, yeah, Wichita State is my pick to beat Arizona, which, by the way, I think is good and should have been a 5, not a 6. But just in that specific matchup, I like what Wichita State has, and I don't know. They could get taken out by Vanderbilt, and that's that, and that's the bracket, and that's the nature of it. But I'm going to trust Van Vliet and Baker to win two more games with, you know, this final senior run and create a really cool legacy, by the way. Like, we'll always remember this Wichita State team as the Marshall Van Vliet Baker era. By the way, they should still be good in the years ahead. They've got some dudes on that team, but clearly this is the end of a very special era.
Next up, we have Miami, Florida, and Buffalo. Miami, Florida, of course, coached by Jim Larrañaga. And the 10-year anniversary, you wrote an excellent piece for CBS Sports about a history of that George Mason team 10 years ago. I remember when he went to Miami, and I was like, oh, yeah, he seems a little old for being like such a big project like that. And I don't know, maybe, I guess he gets one chance. I figured he'd just retire and become a guy at George Mason, and I'll be darned if he hasn't made them a national contender.
Yeah, he has, and I definitely didn't like the hire at the time. I think most people didn't like the hire. I spoke with Larrañaga about kind of that stuff on background for anything down the road, maybe when I was doing the Mason piece, and he just, you know, he always wanted to have an ACC job. It was kind of, you know, he coached at Virginia way back in the day. It's pretty awesome what he's done there, because Miami, you know, for most of it, first of all, it didn't have a basketball program, like. Right. 3-4 decades ago, and then brought basketball back, which is just weird considering, like, it's, you know, it's a major university.
It's Miami. Right?
It's Miami. And so it would have real issues bringing people in the games, and now they sell out games on the regular. And they were a number 2 seed 3 years back, and now they're a number 3 seed. They play a Buffalo team that made its first NCAA tournament in program history last year, and now goes in back-to-back years with different coaches. Because, of course, Bobby Hurley left and took the Arizona State job. And so now Nate Oates coaches Buffalo. He's got a story where his wife has been battling cancer. And so, you know, we got a few of those kind of stories in this tournament, which they aren't good stories, but they do bring another human element to them. And, you know, trying to glorify that kind of stuff. But if there can be true inspiration and stuff like that, I think it's sports, it's never a bad thing for sports to be populated by that kind of stuff. This is a 6:45 tip on TNT on Thursday. It'll be the game that's already started once you're kind of finishing up dinner and kind of getting settled in. I don't think it will be close. I like Miami kind of win in a boring 15-point fashion.
All right, and then we've got Iowa Temple. Iowa going through – my general theory about them, by the way, why they keep collapsing every year is they're coached by a lunatic. And a very talented, smart lunatic.
These are the things that you can say and I can't write. Not necessarily that I'm saying that I fully believe you, or right. I'm like on board with this, but like even if I did believe it, given my profession, it's...
Hey, listen, bless his heart, he did not actually touch or attack anybody this year. And he's obviously very smart. Like when you hear him interviewed, he's obviously a very intelligent guy, a very fun guy, but he kind of loses his shit a little bit every once in a while. And I think as a theory, as just tossing in a theory, maybe that's a reason that Iowa maybe... runs down a little bit at the end of the year, which we saw again this year, which was the year, frankly, I did not think we saw because they were so good at the beginning of the year. But then they lost to Illinois in the Big Ten tournament, which tells you just how much they'd fallen off. But that said, Temple is not a team I'm particularly crazy about either.
Yeah, this is – so I am going to be in Brooklyn to cover this game. I'm there for the Friday-Sunday. And this is a 3 o'clock True TV tip from Brooklyn, originating as, to use TV terminology. It's not a very inspiring game. I get that for people who aren't totally thrilled with this one because Iowa's just been absolute trek. And Temple just doesn't have any stars. Some people thought it didn't even deserve to be in the field. They couldn't name you one Temple player. It's 86th in KenPom. But this is the Fran game, I will mention. Fran McCaffrey and Fran Dumphy. I do think Temple is going to have a pretty decent shot here because it does not turn the ball over. Dumphy's a pretty awesome coach. Like, quietly just does his job in a really good way. Like, he's never going to make, like, headlines. I don't think he'll ever get to a Final Four or anything like that. But Temple is not a worse program because he's there. At the very least, he has kept in the same gear as, or if not, you know, brought up a little bit from when he took it over. I'm going to take Iowa He's got more talent. You know, Uthoff's a really solid player. Peter Jock had like 29 in the.
He was the man.
He had like 29 against Illinois. I mean, it didn't really matter. Overall, Iowa should win this game. And, you know, if you would even just remove, like, let's just say Iowa doesn't lose to Illinois, and let's just say it barely pulls out the home win over Indiana a couple weeks back, then Iowa's probably a 5 seed, and our perception of them is a little different. I know they're really not playing well, but I'm going to take Iowa with a decent amount of confidence there.
And then we've got Villanova and the UNC Ashy Ashevilles, or Asheville Ashies, whatever that is. Is this a right breakthrough year? Should we? I feel like the Big East. Once again, we talk about this every year because the Big East is on Fox Sports One. No one really seems to really watch a lot of it for a long time, and then these teams like them and Xavier kind of sneak up on people.
Yeah, Villanova is interesting. So I saw him in person all during the conference championship week because I went down to Madison Square Garden, talked with Jay Wright after they lost. I give Wright a lot of credit in that he kind of gets the deal. Like, he's very aware of the fact that people just don't trust Villanova at all. They think it's a paper tiger and just isn't worth a damn when we get to the tournament. And he spoke to me about how he talked to his players with that. He's like, guys, listen, you know, you're known for not producing in March, like, and he takes on that as well. It's an opinion and kind of a stance I think a lot of coaches wouldn't say publicly on the record. So I give Wright a lot of credit for that. I think that they will very much be able to win this game with a wide margin. Asheville's fine, just is outclassed. Villanova is a good team, people. It is balanced, tough, deep. It does a really good job overall. I don't think this will be that close.
All right, so then let's get on to our second round. We'll wrap up the South. Kansas, Connecticut. You and I have the same matchup, Kansas, Connecticut. Who you got?
I've got Kansas, but I did do a quick pump fake.
Yeah, I get it, man. It's Connecticut. I just feel like they're going to rattle off 6 in a row again. All right, Maryland, Hawaii.
Yeah, Maryland, just because they're the ones standing there, and Hawaii is like capable. Don't get me wrong. That's one of those things, like, no one could possibly see Hawaii breaking through the Sweet 16. Tournament's better when you get a couple of those just total shocks into the second weekend. We will have one. It's so hard to predict it in your bracket, and you almost always get it wrong. But we will have one this year. I'm just not picking Hawaii to be that team.
Wichita State, Miami.
Yeah, I go Miami here. I like the fact that Larrañaga, 10 years removed from the George Mason run, will be playing one of the teams that followed in George Mason's footsteps in Wichita State. But given, you know, I kind of want to just not to get too crazy. I'm already picking Wichita State to win and get out of the first four. Getting them to win, you know, into the Sweet 16 is a little too much of a tough ask. And by the way, Miami is good. I think people look at Miami and aren't that inspired seeing them on the three line. Miami is a legitimate 3 seed.
And Iowa, Villanova.
Nova, and that will probably be a really good and close game, but let's consider that game is in Brooklyn, and Villanova will have a terrific, terrific fan turnout for that, so I definitely take the Wildcats.
Okay, Kansas, Maryland, Sweet 16.
Yeah, hold on one sec here. I want to make sure that my pick is flush with what I'm going to tell you. I will tell you that Villanova I have into the Elite Eight. Dude, I had to call these picks in.
Oh, of course. I know. This is the great joke of what you have to do. You spend all year spending so much time thinking about this stuff, and then you have like a half a second on each game within the bracket.
It's so bad. And like, I think I said this on the – and actually people know it because I'm going to do it again with the freaking NIT bracket. But like, it is a process and self-loathing going through this. So people can really like, and shout out to Darren Darst, who's one of our editors, who every year takes my phone call as I curse my way through making my picks. Okay, I do have Kansas over Maryland. I know I really, really almost took Maryland there, but I have Kansas over Villanova, and then I did go Nova into the Final Four.
So you have Villanova over Kansas. You've Kansas over Maryland, but Villanova over Kansas.
Correct. Okay. And that is as much as me believing that Villanova is a Final Four capable team as it is kind of fading the public's very popular Kansas pick into Houston.
I love it. All right. So there's the South. Villanova it is. Heading to the West, the much maligned West region, starting with the also much maligned Oregon. How good is Oregon? Everybody's slagging on Oregon right now. Are they going over the top with that?
Yeah, I think so to a certain extent. To me, Oregon was a worthy number one seed. It's funny, Nate Silver kind of lost himself on Twitter when the bracket was released because he just didn't think Oregon had any business. Nate Silver from Michigan and a Michigan State fan, I will add. So I kind of had to shoot him a, hey, dude, trust me, this is not completely ridiculous. I would pick Oregon in many facets before I would pick Virginia to be a one seed with what it's done, how good it is, how many times it's won on the road, how many top 50 wins it has. Dylan Brooks is very good. Tyler Dorsey is a freshman that could have a breakout tournament, in my opinion. And Chris Boucher is a senior who is one of the, I would say, 10 or 15 best defensive players in the country. I very much like Oregon to roll. And I will also add, listen, I'm not necessarily spoiling anything here because I will never pick a 16 to beat a 1. And I got to write about how I wish that 16 never beats a 1, and we've talked about mm-hmm. that on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't like these 16s at all this year because there's just a lot of bad teams, and a lot of teams that would have maybe won their league tournaments and been better 16s got shipped off to the NIT, and so we're left with, you know, Austin Peay didn't finish near the top of its league. Fairleigh Dickinson wasn't a huge factor in its league. Holy Cross didn't even win on the road until its conference tournament, that kind of stuff.
Yes, but Holy Cross does have coach Bill Carmody, who after 8 years of failing to get Northwestern in the tournament, gets Holy Cross in the tournament, and that makes me laugh and smile. Okay, St. Joseph's against Cincinnati.
Okay, so maybe the most 8-9 game of all 8-9 games in the tournament. This is the last game of the first round. It will tip around 10 o'clock on Friday on True TV. Intriguing one. St. Joe's is underseeded to me by a fair margin. One of my criticisms, with the committee is you look around at this bracket and, geez, did conference tournaments not mean a whole hell of a lot with a whole hell of a lot of teams? And in my opinion, that's unfair because you're playing in tournament environments against really good teams, and seed lines absolutely should be affected in some way or another, like with Seton Hall, should be higher than a 6. St. Joe's won the A-10 tournament, is looking really, really good, absolutely should be higher than an 8, in my opinion. I saw him in Brooklyn, won me over, absolutely. Give me St. Joe's to win that game.
All right, then we have Baylor-Yale. Should we be as excited about Yale as we were about Harvard, say, 2 years ago?
Yes, because this Yale team is nearly as good.
And has a whiff and poof.
Has a whiff and poof. Brendan Sherrod, who's, you know, he's a good front court player. Justin Sears is the 2-time Ivy League player of the year. They get this game in Providence. Baylor is not afforded any favors here by having to fly up to the Northeast while the Elis just have to hop on a bus and take a, you know, 90-minute ride to the Dunkin' Donuts Center. Yale, I think, can give them a pretty good game overall. Baylor has dudes, though. And obviously with Yale, you know, I mentioned Cal is going through something with its assistant being fired. Yale doesn't have one of its starters and team captains, Jack Montague, who the lawyer has now been putting out statements about what exactly happened and how the allegations against his client are obviously, you know, misleading or false. That's a whole other thing. It is, you know, we've got Yale in the tournament for the first time in 62 years, and that's not the story. The story is what's happened with Montague. From strictly an on-the-court perspective, not having him, I think, will affect Yale, and it will be the difference in Baylor winning. I think that will be a pretty close game, though.
All right. Well, those Yale kids, they can't catch a break. Duke, UNC, Wilmington. This is not a really great. This is like not only not a great Duke team. Is this legitimately a top 25 Duke team?
Yeah, but it shouldn't be a 4. Like, yes, I'll say it is a top 25 Duke team. We've had a few of these situations in recent years. You know, they've won the 2010 and 2015 titles, so it's starting to overshadow the fact that, you know, Duke got done in by Mercer and got done in by Lehigh.
Yes.
And, you know, going back to 07, VCU was a very popular 11-6 pick with Duke. Everyone saw that coming, and it did happen. So we've got that as well. I do like the local flavor here. You know, you got UNC Wilmington and going up against, you know, a powerhouse North Carolina school. This is the first game everyone will be tuning into when we are so eager to get the tournament started. This is a noon CBS tip on Thursday. I do have Duke winning. I've got a feature coming on Brandon Ingram for Wednesday. Be on the look for that. And I don't know what to expect from this team. To me, it's super hard to read. Ingram's going to compete with Simmons for number one in the draft. Grayson Allen, I know that he's tripped people and people want to hate him, but he really was one of the five or six best players in the ACC this year. So it's a good group. I don't think Wilmington will push him too much, to be honest.
All right, now we go to Oklahoma City, Texas, Northern Iowa. How much of a does Texas look like a Shaka Smart team right now? Are they there yet, or is he just still building stuff?
He's definitely still building stuff. I mean, the way that he was winning with VCU and with Havoc is not the way that he's winning right now, because they're different, they're higher level players and athletes, and it's a different setup. So he hasn't really been relying on those schemes, so to speak. This was probably the first round game that I spent the most time thinking about and hating my pick, because Northern Iowa has beaten good teams. I mean, Northern Iowa beat North Carolina, and so did Texas. I took Texas, and I'm taking Texas here. I just could totally see Northern Iowa winning. I like what Isaiah Taylor does for Texas, though, overall. I mean, super impressive point guard. This is another late game on Friday, TBS, about 9:45. I go Texas. But between that and the St. Joe Cincinnati game, I'm just hoping that, you know, that final push for the first round, like, we get two really awesome games as we're closing out Friday.
All right, and Texas A&M, Green Bay.
Shout out to Link Darner, because the dude likes him some meatloaf. Yeah. And I don't mean the food.
Hey, listen. I don't know if you know this about me. I think you run a very good music podcast, of which I was a guest. If you ever do a meatloaf show, I own every Meatloaf record. Bad Attitude, both Bad Outta Hell sequels, Dead Ringer, which features a duet with Cher. I own every Midnight at the Lost and Found. I own every Meatloaf record, just so you know.
I don't think I'm ever going to do a Meatloaf show.
Hey, you know what? It's your loss, Norlander.
But, and, like, there's nothing, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I own Bad Out of Hell on vinyl, okay? I'm not hating.
It's but, okay to hate. It is Meatloaf. I'm not going to.
I spent a lot of the past 6 weeks texting with coaches and getting their favorite band or musical artist, and I finally got to unveil that on Monday on CBS Sports. Please go and look at it, because it is just amazing. I'm actually a little bummed there wasn't even a little more variety. Plenty of Bruce Springsteens in there. And by the way, a few coaches that just missed the tournament were also Bruce Springsteen. So it's kind of like, well, at least if they're missing it, I don't have 8 Bruce Springsteens in this freaking thing.
Proving once again, coaches are just like the media. That
I know. But Darner said Meatloaf, which is just incredible.
I got to talk to him, because if he goes the deep cuts off Bad Attitude, he and I are going to be best friends.
So it's just crazy. So he gets Green Bay to the tournament for the first time in 2 decades. But A&M's got really good players. I don't think this will be that close. That's a Friday tip at about 7:15 on TBS. Give me A&M comfortably there.
Every villain was once just a boy with a bad attitude. Every hero was once, every villain was one. Okay, Oregon State. I'll keep going. We got plenty of time, right? Oregon State and Virginia Commonwealth. Oh, man. By the way, Oregon State, man. No, I love Craig Robinson and everything, but it kind of maybe looks like that was a good fire.
When you do this and understand that obviously Wayne Tinkle is doing it with some players that Robinson got to the school, there's something to that. It is one of my favorite plot lines to the tournament. Oregon State hasn't been in the tournament in 26 years. 26 years, okay? Gary Payton. That Gary Payton was at Oregon State, and now his son is on the team, who's awesome, by the way. this is the bummer when you play in the Pac-12 and sometimes your games are on the Pac-12 network. People don't realize how freaking awesome Gary Payton's kid, the Mitten, is at basketball. Fantastic. I don't think they're a 7 seed in their DNA. I understand why the resume would lead that, but like to me, it's like a 10 or 11 seed. Wayne Tinkle's a really cool dude. I actually, in doing that college coaching music bracket, I got a side story from Tinkle, music related, that I'm absolutely going to be writing, and it will be tied to my music podcast, but I can't say anything else. Okay. That'll happen down the road, maybe a few months down the road, but just tuck that in the back of your mind. I am going to go – man, it's tough, but I go Oregon State because they're going to have the best player on the floor. VCU is now coached by Will Wade, since Shaka Smart obviously is at Texas. Tinkle's a good coach now. They could be hampered. His son, Trace Tinkle, has – and, of course, you know, it's just – the last name Tinkle just makes the whole – I get so used to it, and I start saying it, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's right.
You should coach Austin Peay, obviously.
Yeah, oh, without a doubt. If only we could get a situation where next year they are able to meet in the tournament, because they're obviously – that's not going to happen this year. They're just too far apart in the bracket. But overall – I do like Oregon State's starting five just a little more. If Wayne Tinkle's son is not able to go, that could flip it. But I'm taking Oregon State in a total 50-50 toss-up.
All right, and then I love the idea that Oklahoma might well could give me a Final Four matchup between two former Illinois coaches if they happen to play Kansas, the two coaches before Bruce Weber. But
it's always about freaking Illinois.
When two teams are potential Final Four teams and they were two coaches before Bruce Weber, yes, it is definitely about Illinois. So Oklahoma and CSU Bakersfield. Are you up on this Oklahoma team? Is this a Buddy Hield takeover?
I'm very up on them. I don't think this will even be close. This is a classic. You know, they throw those 116, 215, 314 games oftentimes into that. Now that there's a staggered TV schedule, they throw it into that, you know, early dinner hour on the East Coast. So this is a 350 tip on TNT on Friday. I don't think it'll be close. I'm big on Oklahoma overall with what it has. And I feel that they are playing like they were 0.01 tenths of a second away from winning in the Big Ten tournament on Buddy Hield's just outrageous shot against West Virginia. They just barely missed. Overall, I like the way that they're playing, and I trust their offense, and I trust Isaiah Cousins, and I trust Jordan Woodard. I think that's the best three-man backcourt attack in the country. So I will take them both to win that game and get into the Sweet 16. I don't think that they'll have – like I think they're going to end up in the Sweet 16 without hardly any resistance. I think they'll be one of the teams that when they get there, they'll have one of the greatest average margins of victory in the first two rounds.
I think that shot should have counted for 2 points, like just for what it's worth. I think it actually should have counted for two. All right, we'll go through the second round. And it's back to the second round again, by the way. It's called the second round now, which is very nice. Okay, Oregon, St. Joseph's.
Oregon, but again, like with UConn, I did pump fake on this. Just with St. Joe's, just know that they've got DeAndre Bembry, who's going to get NBA looks, and Isaiah Miles, who's going to get NBA looks. They've got guys, and they aren't afraid, and they've got size. So I do like this game to be pretty close, but I did go with Oregon ultimately.
Baylor, Duke.
Tough call. I went with Duke. Duke has a decent Northeast contingent. Again, this game will be in Providence. I'll probably end up going to this game because I'm in Connecticut, and these will be Saturday games. So I think if there's enough intriguing action there, I think it's worth taking the trip up. But I will go Duke. The interesting thing with Baylor, by the way, the Rico Gathers is one of the best rebounders in the country. He has already stated that once Baylor's season ends, he's done with his basketball career. Almost definitely. He is getting many legitimate looks to play tight end in the NFL, and he will begin training and holding like individual workouts and pro days for NFL scouts. So we could very easily have a situation where Rico Gathers plays in the NCAA tournament in, you know, the middle of March, and then is on an NFL roster on opening day come September. And yeah, I'm not saying it's likely, but he definitely has the body and certainly the strength and maybe quite possibly the skill set to do it, which is just, you know, it's not the first one to do it, but he's obviously he's like a stud within the Big 12 and could have a 10-15 year pro career in basketball, but he is going to chase football, which is a little surprising given, you know, the trend that we're seeing with football and players retiring early and all that stuff.
Who is the Duke point guard that played quarterback for Syracuse?
You have not forgotten. Are you serious right now? Greg Paulus?
Yes, of course.
Okay, I was just making sure. Well, you know, we have brain farts, so I didn't know.
There are people. I have friends at Syracuse that did not watch the team that year.
That was one of those random things for sure. Paulus now an assistant at Ohio State.
Texas A&M.
This is an awesome game just because it's the Big 12 throwback, because A&M is now, of course, in the SEC, and it's going to happen in Big 12 country in Oklahoma City. So just – that's just cool. I like that. I go Texas with the upset there. A&M is good. Like I would have put them as a 4 instead of a 3. Of all the potential second round games that I have picked, like there are other games that could be good that I didn't necessarily. Like Cal Maryland is an awesome potential second round game, but I didn't pick it. So of the ones that I've picked, to me this is like a top 3 entertaining close game. And even though I know a lot of people aren't familiar with A&M, just trust me. Like, if we get Texas versus Texas A&M, that will be a fantastic game, and I go Longhorns.
All right. So Oregon, Duke. Saving us Oregon, Baylor, and whatever uniform concoction would happen.
That's a great point, man.
Oregon, Duke.
I go Oregon. At a certain point, I just had to stop with Duke because I can't trust the team necessarily to get too far. It's capable of doing it. Don't get me wrong. But this was also sometimes like when you have really firm beliefs in certain teams and how they're seeded, like you just get stubborn. And so like to me, Oregon is a 1 seed. And so, damn it, I'm going to pick them at least until the Elite Eight. That's what I did there.
And so Oklahoma, Texas, Red River Shootout.
Yes. How about that? So after Texas gets Texas A&M, we get Texas, Oklahoma. And that is, you know, only possible. Here's a bracketing quirk that I don't know if everyone realizes. If you play a team 3 times in the regular season, you cannot face them until the Elite Eight at the absolute earliest. But Oklahoma and Texas in the round robin Big 12 only played each other twice, and so you can meet. Actually if there are seasons where there are so many teams that you have to meet in the second round, like which happened in the Big East, you can. They try and make it Sweet 16 at the earliest, so it would be great to get to. A third matchup between these two teams. It would be a rubber match. Oklahoma won 63-60 on February 8th, and then Texas won decidedly at the end of February by 13 points. But in the rubber match on the neutral floor, I go Oklahoma, and then I go the all-O Elite Eight, Oklahoma-Oregon, and give me the Sooners into the Final Four.
All right, we have our first Final Four match. You had Villanova. I had Kansas. We both have Oklahoma. All right, moving to the East, North Carolina. I wrote in my piece, they're really eventually going to have to set a postseason, right?
They're going to have to what?
Sit out a postseason? I know
sit
it's not
out
this
a postseason?
Year.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to have to happen, right? Because I mentioned that in my piece today, and a couple of Carolina fans were like, at this point, we just assumed that, nope, we made it. I was like, really? You have to get something, right?
Oh, yeah, that's coming. Yeah. I mean, listen, we are in the midst of, you know, enjoying the tournament. It's all basketball. Trust me, there's a long offseason ahead, and I'm pretty much bracing myself for having to discuss and write and tweet about North Carolina more than any other storyline in college basketball from the end of April until the end of October. I think that the NCAA hammer is coming this offseason, and I can promise you, if we get to October and nothing has happened and we don't have resolution with that case, I will be one of many just basically killing the NCAA, because I've actually been very patient and I've kind of stood up for the NCAA and the scope of the investigation, and that's a lot of minutia and people want to hear about brackets and picks, so I won't get down that road too far. But yes, it is my estimation that a postseason ban will be put into place with North Carolina next season. We'll see if it appeals it and what goes from there. But my guess is this offseason they will be banned for next postseason, and I don't think that'll be the least of it. I think it will be heavy punishments coming down. By the way, they're absolutely going to roll in their 116 game.
All right, well, then let's watch them win the national championship this year, and then they can take the banner down. Okay, USC Providence.
Okay, so I'm so in love with Chris Dunn's game that I will not let myself not pick Providence to win this. I get into this situation a lot where there are teams who have individual talents or maybe collective talent that have underachieved a little bit, and I still can't get out of my own way, and I pick them into the tournament, and then they lose, and I'm like, why did I do that to myself? I knew that was going to happen. It's like when you eat that, like, that second piece of cake that you really just know – you like, you don't want it, and then you eat it, and you're like, I feel sick. I'm an idiot. Why did I just do that? It's basically what I'm doing with Providence here. But PC has Chris Dunn, who will be a top-five pick. Ben Bentel has turned himself into a first-round draft pick and the most improved player in the country. It's ridiculous how good he's gotten. They don't have a lot else aside from that, and they aren't great at shooting three-pointers. Fortunately, USC, in my opinion, is just isn't that good. I don't even think – like I was saying, like Oregon State's at 7 seed, but in its heart of hearts, it's really like more like a 10 or 11. Same thing with USC. It's to me, it's more like a 12 seed. It's not even close to being in this game, let alone being an 8 seed. So give me the Friars.
All right. Illinois note, I saw Illinois almost completely shut down Chris Dunn in Providence. I'm very envious, by the way, because you're going to go there. That's a beautiful arena. I had like a blast at that arena. So, and there's a bar like right down the street. Providence is a great place to watch a game. Okay, Illinois stuff done. Are we going to get our Indiana-Kentucky second-round matchup?
I don't have it.
All right.
This is so here are the four. Thursday evening, like for anyone that gets stuck at work, and by the way, you can stream. Like at this point, if people aren't aware,
right? Like seriously, they gotta
it is so easy to watch any tournament game
right.
wherever you want on your phone, laptop, tablet, computer. Like it is. I'm telling you, we're going to get to a point in like 5 or 6 years where we're going to be like we're almost kind of there now, but the streaming thing is still sort of new, but like with Apple TV and Roku and stuff, and I'm not just shilling, like it is the fact of life, like the streaming cord cutting existence for sports fans. Like the NCAA tournament this year, I feel is going to be like the first major event, even more than like the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is still like, come over to the house, turn on the TV, watch it. Like with the tournament and the nature of the beast and how often you can watch these games in any spot you want. Okay. It's fantastic, and it's going to be the reality going forward. And we're going to be like, do you remember when we didn't even get to choose what games we watched? It's like, it's just ancient history. I say all that just to set up with, if you are stuck at work and you're watching all these games, Thursday night, the window is Miami Buffalo and Carolina versus the Dickinson Dunk City winner, whatever. Utah, Fresno State, that's a 7:15 tip. The only game on that first Thursday night after you finish dinner that's going to be really interesting is CBS has the 7 o'clock tip between Indiana and Chattanooga. Now, Chattanooga is a really, really, really good team, okay?
Beat Illinois and Georgia.
And Dayton, okay?
Yes.
It's a very solid team, 29-5, coached by a very talented young dude named Matt McCall. They have experience. They have size. They can run, but they play a little slow. I've got Chattanooga winning the game.
Love it.
But I tell you, I would love to see Indiana Kentucky just because the teams won't schedule themselves anymore. Okay?
They're gonna destroy Crean, man. They're gonna rip him apart if that happens.
Well, Parrish was saying, listen, no matter what, either Kentucky or Indiana is not making the Sweet 16, and so one of those fan bases is going to be so angry. I feel like that's mostly right, but if Indiana loses like a tough one to Kentucky, IU fans will be relatively rational. Maybe I'm out of my gourd to think that, but I feel like, you know, it's Kentucky. They'll hate losing to Kentucky. Don't get me wrong, but they're not going to – like they're going to go nuts if they lose to Chattanooga, which I have happening.
All right. All right. All right. Love it. All right. We don't have to get too much in about how Tulsa is the worst team in the tournament, or at least not necessarily the worst team, but the one that least perhaps least deserved that at large. Does that help them against Michigan? And if so, and if not, who's going to beat Notre Dame, if either?
Well, hold on real quick. So I do have Kentucky over Stony Brook. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, you're right. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, it's okay. I only want to say
they got Return of the Mac guy.
Yeah, so they have Jameel Warney, who he dedicates every game to Mark Morrison, Return of the Mac, which I wish I had known when I spoke with him. I love playing Return of the Mac on guitar, man. It's such a cool, smooth jam, and it's a fantastic song. Jameel Warney is right now a player that would start for any team in the country. He's that good. Unfortunately, Stony Brook doesn't have the guards to match up with Tyler Hughes and Jamal Murray, and I mean by any means imaginable. It would be awesome. Like, Stony Brook's a really cool story. They finally got to the tournament. Steve Peichel's such a really good dude that coaches that team. But Kentucky's just got too much. I would have entertained Stony Brook in any other way. What I think is going to happen is this. I think Kentucky's going to win like 74-65, and Warney's going to go for like 31-12-3 and put up like a beast of a performance, but he's just not going to be able to carry the team. I do think Michigan will beat Tulsa. Listen, no one's going to pick Tulsa just because Tulsa shouldn't even be anywhere near the field. Brutal stuff. And you could make plenty of arguments for Michigan to not be in the field. I thought that they were going to get in just because they had four really nice wins. There were definitely flaws with the resume. Don't get me wrong. But I got a lot of pushback when I said that I felt that they were in the field. A lot of people did not think that was going to be the case. So I was not shocked to see John Beilein's team in the field. I think that they will win. I don't think they will keep it too close against Notre Dame. I like Notre Dame to have a lot of success in that 6-11 game, which will be – when is that Notre game? Oh, that's another late Friday game. And I will have that game. That's a Brooklyn game. So that's coming from Brooklyn, 9:30 on Friday, Notre Dame versus Michigan or Tulsa.
All right, that brings us to West Virginia, Stephen F. Austin. Is this game going to be like 45-44?
Okay, so these are the two best teams – by per possession defense in the country. I have Stephen F. Austin winning this game. There's also the subplot that Brad Underwood, who I forgot about this, or I just never thought about it. So Brad Underwood was on Huggins' staff at Kansas State. Underwood has been ridiculous in his 3-year stay with Stephen F. Austin. I mean, they've gotten to the tournament every year that he's been there. He's been fantastic. Or no, they didn't get the first year. I don't think they were really – no, they did get the first year, right? Because they were 12, and they won that first year. They beat VCU. That's right. 2 years ago, they beat VCU. This team is arguably as good as those two other teams, but it doesn't have the same seeding. It's not a 14. I like them to win. Thomas Walkup is just – all around freaking baller, man. They've got definite experience. They're not a huge team. You don't need to be a huge team to beat West Virginia. I'm so excited to get this game in Brooklyn. Side note, both Bob Huggins and Brad Underwood are fans of the band The Eagles. So that's yeah, no, whatever. Hey, listen, and by the way, on a side note on that music thing, like 7 coaches told me they liked the Eagles that did not put them at the top of their list. So Bruce was like the most well-represented number one, like favorite artist, but no band was mentioned more in reporting that story than the freaking Eagles, man.
All right, let's just move on. Listen, I've got Meatloaf all queued up at the end of this podcast, by the way. Okay, Wisconsin-Pittsburgh. I have this ongoing theory of teams that that extend coaches that the fan base is not 100% sure about losing their first-round games and getting them all riled up. This is my Wisconsin theory. It's why I have Pittsburgh winning that game.
Here's the interesting thing with Wisconsin. This is a 6:45 tip on TNT on Friday. It is believed within college basketball circles that Jamie Dixon is going to be finding a new landing spot after this season. It might not happen. It might. Listen, he's been there a while. I would not be surprised if after this happens, he lands at a new school. So to me, this is not new in terms of like, I think it was last year. If it wasn't last year, it was the year before. Someone straight up asked Dixon in the post game after Pittsburgh lost about his future and if he would be leaving. So he's encountered this kind of stuff before. He's done a really nice job at Pittsburgh. It might be time for a reboot. And I wonder how this team comes out against a Wisconsin team that clearly, you know, just one half of the season black, one half of the season white, just a total contrast there. I don't have a great feel for this game. I like Wisconsin's roster better, so I went with them. But Pitt usually burns me, man. Like, whenever I want to do something with Pitt, they usually go the other way in the tournament. So what I'm saying is expect the Panthers to win.
All right. And Xavier, I'd like to note, by the way, I know I put those in my piece. Like, Xavier is the team with the second most NCAA tournament appearances without a Final Four, behind only BYU. They were tied with Missouri.
I was about to say, where's Missouri? So yeah. BYU has the most?
BYU has the most, and Xavier and Missouri were tied going into this year.
Well, my question is Missouri still technically the most, but they've been stripped with vacated seasons or anything like that?
That I don't have. Wikipedia didn't have
that. Yeah, you might be right, though, with BYU. That could be – I think maybe Missouri is the program with the most wins all time without a Final Four. I felt like they were at the top of one of those lists. Anyway, I'm rambling.
This is Xavier's best chance.
Yes, they've never been as highly seeded as this, and people that only get into the tournament and don't follow college basketball, throughout the season, when they see Xavier, familiarity pops in the mind because this is a program that has made many Sweet 16s over the years. Really good team, like them a lot just because of how balanced they are overall. Strong wings, good guards. Couple of big men in James Farr and Jalen Reynolds who are different, and it's a good thing that they're different. Reynolds is just an athletic freak. Farr is come so long, such a long way in the past 2 years, and kind of just establishing himself into a reliable guy that Chris Mack knows that he can throw out there for 22 minutes and get good stuff out of. I think they beat Weber State handily.
All right, let's zoom through the second round. North Carolina Providence.
This is going to be Carolina again. I pump faked here again with a 1 versus an 8-9 winner. Ultimately, I just like if Providence is going to win the game, they're going to need to shoot like 50% from three, which they just don't do. So it's going to have to be one of those things. I will say this. The fun aspect of this is that Chris Dunn can go. He's the best 94-foot player in college basketball because he's such a great defender and such a dynamo with the ball. Carolina obviously likes to run. So that could get pretty fun. And do I have this right? Hold on. Let me vamp for just a second because I just realized Carolina Providence, didn't we get that in the tournament 2 years ago? Hold on. I feel like Providence and Carolina played like 2 years ago when Providence won the Big East. They did. They did play, and Providence lost 79-77. I think that was a 6-11 game then. So we could have a rematch 2 years removed, and Providence almost took it. That was a really good game.
Chattanooga, Kentucky.
Kentucky, but I'm telling you, Chattanooga very much could be the team that pops into the Sweet 16 that people just don't see coming. Team's good, people. Just beware, but I do like Kentucky mostly because of Ulis.
Notre Dame, Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah, I go Notre Dame. I know they lost some pieces from last year, that team that almost knocked off Kentucky. I was there in Cleveland in the Elite Eight, and that was just an amazing game. Honestly, I think it was the best game of the tournament, even though we got a couple more really awesome games in the Final Four. I go Notre Dame here in what I think will be a really close, very good game.
Xavier, Wisconsin.
I got Xavier over Wisconsin, and I've got Xavier over Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the top of the bracket, I've got Kentucky over Carolina.
Woo!
Again, people are loving Carolina. I said like weeks back, I was like, I'm done. I can't trust this Carolina team. I know that they won the ACC regular season. I know they won the ACC tournament. They've got some good guys. And listen, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Whatever. They're just picks. But I'm going to go against the sentiment there, although I'm finding more and more that people, they like this one because it's an upset by seed that you can feel comfortable and confident in. It's a lot easier to say Kentucky over Carolina than it is to say Maryland over Kansas, for example.
All right, so Kentucky, Xavier.
Xavier, man.
Oh, love it. Love the exit. Bill Murray's going to be so happy.
Yeah, just a quick side note. So Bill Murray, people might be like, they might even know it because he's been on TV enough and people have said it enough. But Bill Murray has obviously been seen on TV at Xavier games, throwing up the X, wearing the flat brim Xavier hat because his son, Luke, is an assistant on the team. Luke is a really good dude. He has a very dry wit.
You know,
clear to see where he gets that from. But he's very much like his own guy. He did his own thing. He was grinding at the low levels and driving to AU gyms when he was, just getting out of college. Took a very different path, and it's a really cool thing to see him kind of have this success. He was previously at Rhode Island, was previously at Towson and some other spots. So it's cool that Murray, his dad, comes along, and it adds this like fun little celebrity element to it. But it's like Luke Murray is legit. He is a really good assistant and has earned kind of his keep in the business. And so now people just kind of, they're like, oh yeah, that's so strange and random that Bill Murray's son coaches in college basketball. Well, he's a little bit of a different guy, but very smart. And you know, it's been a long time coming for him to a certain extent, but he's got the goods, man. I think he could actually be a head coach one day.
Well, he won't. Bill Murray will still not have as good of a time as he did in 2005 rooting for the Illini. All right, going over to the Midwest, I actually have North Carolina out of that bracket. So now we go to the Midwest. Virginia, is this the year
that it loses as a one seed? I hope not.
No, is this the year that they make the Final Four?
Well, we're going to find that out as I walk through this bracket with you, but I do have them beating Hampton.
Okay, Texas Tech Butler then. We'll move on, right? No offense to Hampton.
No, it's fine. Butler, this is just an ugly, like, I don't like this 8-9 game whatsoever, which means it'll probably end up being the best one overall, to be honest with you. It is, you know, it's nice to get an 8-9 in the Thursday afternoon window. We actually get two of them because Texas Tech will start a half hour before Colorado Connecticut starts. So this will be the true TV game on Thursday. I go Butler.
All righty. Purdue, Little Rock, kind of an intriguing. I'm so crazy about Purdue because they're so huge. But Little Rock is tricky.
Little Rock's very tricky. They're a very good team. Chris Beard took over a roster, basically had to start with 10 new guys, and this team you could easily argue is worthy of an 11 seed. It would never happen with the committee and how it seeds teams. Purdue is not a 5, by the way. Like, Purdue should have been a 3 or 4 at worst. It gets a 5. I go Little Rock.
Wow.
And I don't even love the pick because Purdue is legit, but I think Little Rock is – listen, let's have some fun with it here. So I go Little Rock, but I don't feel great about it. Matt Painter's got a really solid team. And, you know, I came close to doing this. Purdue, Little Rock. If I go Purdue, I'll pick Purdue over Virginia, but I'm not going to do it, so I pick Little Rock. You know, it wouldn't shock me if Purdue gets the Elite Eight.
And then because a lot of people have the other upset in the other game, which is Iona, Iowa State.
Right, but I have Iowa State. Yeah. Okay, so in your opinion, what do you think is the trendiest – upset 11, 12, 13, or 14 in the entire bracket?
I would say Stephen F. Austin. I would say Stephen F. Austin, or maybe this game. Maybe Iona, Iowa.
To me, it's this game, but you could be right. I mean,
just because, well, also, like, there's the 14s don't actually beat the 3s that much, but we still have in our mind that they do because there was that stretch like 20 years ago where it happened every year.
Yeah,
and I think that makes that game more popular than maybe it should be.
Okay, no, that's fair. To me, this is the most popular upset pick. I strongly listen. It's a very entertaining game. I did a story on the 5 most entertaining or must watch games of the first round, and this is absolutely part of that. I can't wait to watch it. It should be just offense, 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 offense. It is part of that. Like, Thursday is going to start with a bang because you get the Duke factor at noon, then Texas Tech Butler. Okay, it's an 8-9 intrigue. Colorado UConn. Okay, 8-9 intrigue. And then the fourth game in the first window is this Iowa State Iona TBS 1:30. We could have a situation where we have three of those four games in 20 to 25 minute time elapses where they're really good endings. So we could really have an awesome Thursday here, but I do take Iowa State not comfortably, but maybe running away with it a little late.
All right. Seton Hall, Gonzaga. Speaking of fun games,
man, oh man. I saw Seton Hall win that Big East tournament. It was an awesome experience at Madison Square Garden. Isaiah Whitehead is fun. Turns it over just a little too much, but dude, for his size, he blocks, he rebounds. Angel Delgado is a big man down low who's got a nice attitude streak in him, man. I cannot wait to see him go up against a bonus. I go Gonzaga here in almost a reverse psychology move because people like to sell what the Bulldogs do in March a lot of the time, but it's not like they haven't had success under Mark Few, and Seton Hall is so hot. It's kind of a contrarian pick. And let's not forget the fact that Gonzaga, and maybe everyone was wrong, but Gonzaga was seen as a preseason top 20 team. They faltered somewhat to that extent, but it's not like they don't still have a lot of those guys there. They are missing their big man down in the middle. But yeah, give me Gonzaga. It was a tough call, though.
And then Utah Fresno State.
Utah pretty easily there.
Okay. Dayton, Syracuse. Syracuse weirdly comfortably into the tournament.
Oddly comfortably in. I thought Syracuse was going to be in, but I thought they were going to Dayton. That was another one similar to Michigan. I wouldn't have put Syracuse in, but I thought the wins that it had, I just had a weird sense. And with Boeheim's suspension, I really felt that they were going to get in. Dayton, I like here. Now, Kendall Pollard is one of Dayton's better players. He's got a bone bruise. I was talking with Archie Miller after Dayton lost in the A-10 tournament. They're not going to practice him at all to try and keep him as fresh as possible. The good news is Dayton's a really good defensive team, and I think that it will be able to handle the Syracuse zone. Listen, Dayton has some guys that are certainly capable of getting hot and making some shots, but they do make more offense from defense. Dayton does. I think it'll be an ugly game, but give me Dayton close, and then give me Michigan State big over Middle Tennessee State.
Okay, let's fly through the second then. Virginia Butler.
Virginia, and that could be an ugly but fun game.
Little Rock, Iowa State.
Iowa State.
Gonzaga, Utah.
Gonzaga. Yes, I'm going to do it. And listen, Utah, by the way, has Jakob Pertl, who's going to be a top 10 pick. He's a sophomore, big man, can work the post, can shoot outside. Very fun guy to watch play. I also note that Utah is a 3 seed, which is 1 seed higher than it was last year when it had a lottery pick in DeLon Wright on its team. So what Larry Kraskowiak's been able to do is awesome. But I do go Gonzaga into the Sweet 16, as do I with Michigan State and Tom Izzo. So I've got Virginia State and Iowa State, and I've got Gonzaga and Michigan State. I do have Iowa State upsetting Virginia,
nice.
And it's nothing against Virginia, but let's have a little fun with a bracket here and picking a few 1 seeds not to make the Elite Eight. There's nothing wrong with that. So give me Iowa State, George Niang, Monty Morris, just a fantastic. Jamil McKay is certainly when he wants to give it a go. He's a very, very good player, and I think that they will give it a go very much so here in the tournament. And then I've got Michigan State over Gonzaga, and then I've got Sparty in the Final Four, Will. So I've got all twos.
Twos. I love it.
I don't think I've ever done before.
That's pretty cool. I like that a lot. I have Michigan State as well. So let's go to your Final Four. You've got Villanova against Oklahoma. I have Kansas against Oklahoma, and I have Kansas. You have Villanova against Oklahoma.
And I have Oklahoma winning that game.
Okay, and I have North Carolina against Michigan State, and I have Michigan State. You have Michigan State against Xavier.
And I have Michigan State winning that game, which sets up the national title game of the two players. And this was – I swear this is not intentional. I kind of got to it, and I was like, this is kind of corny. What am I doing? But Oklahoma, Buddy Hield, Michigan State, Denzel Valentine in the title game, player of the year candidates, the kind of a two-horse race there. And I went with the Sooners win the national title with Lon Kruger, who you may realize coached at Illinois.
He had a unibrow back then. He doesn't have one now, so he's unibrowed back in the day. I loved him. He was hired when I was at the Daily Illini, so I loved Lon Kruger. He was a very cool guy. So good for him, and good for Buddy Hield, who I like the idea of him being the Carmelo of this tournament.
But he will have more around him. Like, that Syracuse team had some decent stuff. McNamara was a really good freshman, and Warwick was on that team. I think Hield has just a little bit more around him than Melo did, just a little bit. Who's your national champion?
I have Michigan State. They're breaking the streak. Oh, sorry, I have Kansas. Excuse me, I have Kansas. I have Kansas over Michigan State national championship itself. So we both have an Illinois coach.
How about that?
We're both an Illinois coach. So coming up
that?
Next year will be Kansas State. And then Lou Henson will come out of retirement, coach New Mexico State again, or Hardin Simmons.
And Lou Henson, the only man in college basketball with 2 courts named after him.
He's the man, New Mexico State and Illinois. All right, man. Okay, this is our tradition. Thank you for all this time. But we have to run through super fast because I know we've run a little long.
It's fine.
To run through the NIT bracket.
And as usual, I swear I have not looked at the NIT bracket, and I don't even know who's in the field except for, like, I can assume I know teams. But, like, I know Mom is a 1 seed. That's all I know. Let's do it.
Okay, Wagner at St. Bonaventure.
Bonaventure.
Alabama at Creighton.
Creighton.
Princeton at Virginia Tech.
Man, that is brutal. What seed is Princeton?
6.
That's terrible. Princeton should have been like a 2 seed. Give me Virginia Tech because it's a road game.
UAB at BYU.
BYU.
Texas Southern at Valparaiso.
Valpo. Without a doubt.
Davidson at Florida State.
Whoa. Oh, man. Are you kidding me with that game?
This is honestly my favorite part of the podcast every year. Just losing your mind over the
NFL. What are we doing with that game? Florida State had two of the 10 most impactful freshmen in the country and did not even come close to making the tournament. Brutal. I'll go Florida State.
Florida State. Belmont at Georgia.
This is dumb.
You hate Georgia so much.
I'll go Georgia. I don't like picking against my man Rick Byrd there, but I do like Georgia's starting five talent in that game.
New Mexico State at St. Mary's.
St. Mary's easily.
High Point at South Carolina.
Man, you know, High Point's got this guy, John Brown. I probably can't get Scott Cherry to text me back with that in time. He was not available for their league tournament, and they're just a totally different team. I'm going to go South Carolina. If John Brown was playing in that game for sure, whatever. I mean, South Carolina.
Houston at Georgia Tech.
It's the dumbest game you've said yet. This game is stupid. This game should not exist. Houston at Georgia Tech. What are we doing right now? Oh, my God. Georgia Tech.
Okay. Long Beach State at Washington.
I'm about to hang up on you right now. This is just Washington. That's at Washington?
Yes.
Yeah, it's got to be Washington, unfortunately.
Indiana, Purdue, Fort Wayne, IPFW.
Mastodons.
At San Diego State.
San Diego State. That'll be too tough for IPFW to win there.
Bucknell at Monmouth, the number one seed in the NIT.
Yo, that's an unfair game because Bucknell's not bad. Wow, that totally sucks for Monmouth. That's not an easy game whatsoever. I'll take Monmouth, but barely.
All right. Hofstra at George Washington.
Holy crap, man. Are you kidding me with that? Like, oh my God. Washington has some size. GW, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Akron at Ohio State.
Ohio State.
North Florida at Florida.
Oh, by the way, Mike White, I called him for the music thing. He gave me Jimmy Buffett, but only after saying that he listens to like movie and music soundtracks more than anything. Like specifically like when he does game prep and during the week. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, man, it's always playing in my office. You name it.
It's all Last of the Mohicans over there, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, right. So I thought that was a really interesting answer. I will go Florida in that spot. But might be a closer game than people think.
All right. We go to the second round, the Sweet 16. Creighton at St. Bonaventure.
Bonnie's, I guess.
All right. Virginia Tech at BYU.
BYU.
Florida State at Valpo.
Valpo, and man, that is super interesting. Like, it's hard to watch these NIT games because we got the tournament going on, but I would actually find time to watch Florida State at Valpo. That is mega, mega interesting.
So who'd you pick?
Oh, did I not say Valpo? Valpo. Are you writing these down or no?
Of course I'm. How do I even know what your matchups are? Of course I am.
Okay.
Georgia at St. Mary's.
St. Mary's, if they're going to have the home floor.
All righty. It's a long trip for the NIT. Georgia Tech at South Carolina.
That game is gross. South Carolina.
Washington at San Diego State.
How about that game? How about that game? Washington.
George Washington at Monmouth.
GW.
Ah, the dream.
Yeah.
And the rematch we were all waiting for, Ohio State at Florida.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. How about that? It would be 9 years since that. Oh, God. This is just an NIT special. Florida, but really everyone loses if those two teams play.
All right, for the Garden, BYU at St. Bonaventure.
Yeah. Bonnies.
Bonnies it is. So, okay, St. Mary's at Valpo.
Wow. A game that should have been in Dayton.
Yes.
That should be a first four game. Wow. Give me Valpo because I don't trust St. Mary's on the road in that spot.
Washington at South Carolina.
South Carolina.
And George Washington at Florida.
And that is the toughest quadrant. That is. I mean, they really did not. They got screwed. I'm going to say GW.
GW. All right. So we go to the Garden. St. Bonaventure versus Valpo.
Valpo.
And South Carolina versus George Washington.
You know what? I'm going to say South Carolina, and I could be totally not remembering this right. I know for sure they have at least one NIT title in like the past 15 years.
Yeah, I think I remember one too. Yeah.
But I feel like South Carolina has reached Madison Square Garden like four of the past like 15 or 16 years in the NIT.
Yeah,
so
that can never be taken away from them.
Yeah. So now do we have a Valpo South Carolina
final?
We
have a Valpo South Carolina final.
Give me Valpo, who I think was the most talented team not selected into the field of 68.
So. All right, man. Well, I have to tell you, asking you about the NIT ballot is honestly maybe the most fun thing I do in this podcast all year. I have a blast.
It's ridiculous.
All right. Well, listen, man. I appreciate, as always, we're gonna have a little meatloaf to take us out here.
What is happening right now?
All right, Norlander, have a great time. As always, one of my favorite podcasts of the year. Everyone follow Matt Norlander at Matt Norlander, MattNorlander, and of course read all of his stuff at CBS Sports and keep up, dude. I can't wait. I can't wait to see you in Houston. We're both gonna be in Houston this year, and it's gonna be awesome.
It's gonna be great, man. You're going to socialize this time. I'm looking forward to seeing you. And yeah, man, just a couple of weeks. Let's just enjoy these first two weekends before that.
Yeah, that nobody has the non Jim Stein albums. I have the non Jim Stein albums. Have a great time, man. I'll see you in Houston, everyone. Thank you for I'll shut this off. You don't have to hear this anymore. I don't want to have to pay Meatloaf's lawyers any money. Everybody have fun out there. We'll be back later this week with Joe Nocera. Everyone, enjoy the tournament. Matt Norlander is the best. Be safe, everyone.